All right, everybody take your Bibles, please, and turn to Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41. And we're going to read three verses. Isaiah chapter 41, verses 10 through 13. The Bible says this, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they which were incest against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they shall strive with thee, shall perish. Thou shalt seek them, and thou shalt not find them. Even them that contendeth with thee, they that war against thee shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee." Let's pray. Dearly Father, I pray that you help us to learn from your word tonight. Dearly Father, I pray that you guide my thoughts and guide my words. And once again, if I were to share my thoughts and my words, I'd be wasting everybody's time. But dearly Father, we know that your word is powerful. And dearly Father, your word is very useful to us as Christians. And if we want to be successful, dearly Father, we have to learn from your word and apply them to our lives. And dearly Father, we ask that you have free reign of the service tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of my sermon tonight is Resources for Tough Times. And, you know, a lot of times we fear tough times, and we fear things that, you know, here's the thing is fear is the monster that stalks us all. And, you know, fear robs us of adventure and success. Fear makes us cowards. And have you ever met somebody that was so stricken with fear that they couldn't even function? And, you know, there are some people that are worried about everything, and it cripples them. You know, I remember when I was preparing the sermon, there was a lot of stories that came to mind. And when I was growing up, we lived in West Richland, and my dad knew that there was a drainage ditch. It was an irrigation ditch that went around the cul-de-sac in which we lived in. And the drainage ditches out west in Washington were different than I don't even think they have drainage ditches here, but it was pretty deep water, and it was fast flowing, and it was pretty wide. Anyways, it was used because it was so dry in Washington, they had to have irrigation, but it was fast flowing. From time to time, you hear about a child that would play near the irrigation ditch, and they would get sucked in and drowned. So my dad was kind of worried about that. And so I never forget, he told us all that there was a monster in the irrigation ditch. I might get in trouble for saying this, but anyways, but there was a monster in the irrigation ditch, and I remember being so scared of the irrigation ditch. I'm here today, and some people, Brother Plymouth, probably wishing, I wish you wouldn't have told them about the monster. but the thing about it is that you know, I remember there was one road in and one road out. I'll never forget, we were going on a walk, and it kind of backfired because all three of us kids wanted to walk down the center of the bridge because we were so worried that the monster was going to reach up, you know. And we had pictures of this green monster with one eye and these claws, you know, that would come up and reach us and whatnot. And then, my sisters, you know, they were typical older sisters, and don't ask me why, they had this deal. If I was upstairs, they would call upstairs, "You're up there by yourself." And I, you know, at first when I heard it, I remember thinking, wait a minute, that's a bad thing? You know? And I remember thinking, well, if they're so worried about it, maybe it is a bad thing. You know, I'd come running down the stairs, you know, but you know what the funny part about it is that I tried it on them, and they're like, "I know." You know, well, how come it never worked on an older sister? I don't know. But, you know, here, and then not long ago, we were in New Jersey, and on some Saturdays, I'd work for the Children's Hospital of Philly as a construction site EMT, I'm afraid of heights. Anyways, my job, believe it or not, was if somebody got injured on the job site somewhere, I had to go help them. Well, during the interview, they asked, "Are you afraid of heights?" And I was trying to figure out how to word it to not lie, but to say, "Well, listen, I'll do what it takes. And, you know, anyways, and so I must have passed because I got hired. And I'll never forget the first time somebody got injured on the very top floor walking still. We're talking downtown Philly, big old tall skyscrapers, you know, many, many floors. And, you know, they're working their way up. Some have floors, and then it gets to the top where all there is steel girders. I remember the first time I had to jump in that stupid basket and go up there, I was ready to quit. I'd be like, listen, the guy can die up there for all I care. And but I went up there, I sent him down, and I remember thinking, this is stupid. All the money in the world is not worth this right here. And but anyways, here's the thing is that fear, fear stalks a lot of us. And when faith wins, fear loses. And, you know, God gave great promises to Isaiah to overcome fear. And these are the resources that we can use to overcome fear and troubled times as well. And, the thing about it is just like I was able to overcome the fear with an action of getting in that stupid basket. You know, the thing about it is when we exercise faith, fear loses. And so we're going to talk about the resources that God has for tough times and to combat fear. Going back to verse 10, the Bible says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee." The resource of God's promises, of God's presence. "Fear not, for I am with thee." You know, the thing about it is a Christian is never alone. And you know what? This is a promise that we can rest on in tough times. This is a promise we can rest on in unsure times. You know, it seems like in life there are so many unsure and unsettling times. There are times where we don't know what's going to happen with the output. We don't know what's going to happen in the future. We don't know, and I'll be honest with you, a lot of times when things are unknown, we tend to fear the unknown. But here's the deal is that we have the resource of God's presence. Amen. You ever notice that people are more courageous when they're not alone? And I wasn't going to say this, but when Jacob and Guy were in the nursery. Now they say that they were all, you know, macho and not afraid and everything. But I remember, well, we had a prayer meeting anyways, it was brought to my attention, I won't say by who, that they were sleeping in the nursery. And about 11:30, something like that, I snuck over and I snuck in that back room. And I took the one door, and I they were back in the nursery, and the lights were on, and I could hear them talking. And I took the one door, and I went, you know, and these doors, when you shut them, they echo, and they kind of sound like they slam. Well, I shut that one, and all of a sudden, there's no talking. You know, here's the thing is the two of them, there was definitely not, they were not being courageous when they were alone, because all of a sudden all talking ceased. And then I shut the other one and then I went around. You know what the funny part about it is the lights were off and nobody's talking. I don't know. That doesn't sound courageous to me. And anyways, I went on having fun. And here's the thing is we had fun at their expense and sure, they were courageous. And so anyways, but the thing about it is that most of the time, you know, when we're with somebody, we're courageous, especially if they're macho. But the Bible also goes on to say, "Be not dismayed, for I am thy God." Now, here's the thing think about that one word, thy. You know, here's the thing is that means all the world. Because you know what? That verse could read, "I am a God." But the thing about it is it doesn't. Because God is the only God. You know, think about I am. You know, He is the very God of heaven. He's the one that created the universe. He's the one that has all power. He's the one that has all knowledge. He has every resource at His command. He is the God. But more importantly than just being the God or, the God of the universe, the Bible says He is thy God. You know, it's just like this when, you know, I remember as a kid feeling safe around my dad because I knew that if anybody came, you know what, he was in the military and I'm sure they taught him karate or judo or something. You know, as a little kid, you think your dad is invincible. I would wrestle with my dad growing up and I thought my dad was invincible. And surely they taught him all kinds of fancy skills in the military and he knew all this. And so every time I was with my dad, I felt like, I felt secure. I'll never forget, I'm getting all kinds of illustrations that are going to get me in trouble. I'll never forget when we were first married, and we were on our honeymoon, and this kid with this big burly guy was the kid was mouthing off, and Stephanie, you know, she kind of thought, I have a husband, protect me. And anyways, I'll never forget, I remember telling her, listen, I'm not about ready to get in a fight with this guy. You know, I don't know you. You're on your own. But the thing about it is that, listen, when it comes down to it, be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Anyone or God plus anyone equal a majority. And I tell you what, all you have to do is read the stories in the Bible. They are true accounts. You know, I love the story about Elijah, on how Elijah prays and fire rains down from heaven. Hey, my God is powerful. My God can do anything. Hey, listen, there is nothing too hard, too big, too complex for my God. And here's the thing is that God, the resource of God's presence, acting on these promises drives fear away. When faith wins, fear loses. We go on. The resource of God's strength. And I know we talked about it a little bit. The Bible goes on, for I will strengthen thee. The Lord invites us to trade our weakness for his strength. There's a person that I love dearly in the nursing home, and she always asked me, Scott, do you want Arthur? And the first time, I'm like, Arthur? I'm like, who's Arthur? She's like, arthritis. And she always asks me, every time she sees me, hey, do you want Arthur? I'll give him to you. And here's the thing is that we can't trade arthritis and all that other stuff. And you always see the little kid, and somebody inevitably says, well, I wish I had their energy. Well, there is something we can trade. And you know what? It's a very good trade. You know, we were just up in Michigan the other day, and one of the cousins was trading an empty candy wrapper, and he actually found somebody. He didn't tell him it was empty. He actually found somebody that he would trade an empty candy wrapper for 4 pieces of candy. Yeah, that's quite a trade right there. We're talking about a horse trader there. And here's the thing is, I'll be honest with you, this kind of sounds like a horse trade, like God's getting the raw end of the deal. You know, but the thing about it is we can trade our weakness for his strength. The Bible says, I will strengthen thee. Why don't we? Well, we're too crippled by fear. We need to step out on faith. If we want to have the strength of God, we've got to step out on faith. We've got to have faith in God, that God can, and that when God tells us to do something, you know what? Hey, listen, there's a certain peace in knowing that, hey, listen, if God has told me to do it, you know what? Hey, listen, my God cannot fail. And listen, when we step on faith, and when we do what this word tells us to do, you know what? I'll be honest with you, that is when fear leaves, and we can have total faith in our Savior. And listen, here's the thing is, when faith wins, fear loses. I will strengthen thee. This transaction empowers us for any crisis. Why? Because there is no problem too great for God to overcome. You know, the Bible says that God's that there is promise in the weakest hour. The Bible says, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. It is always right to trust in God no matter what the circumstances. I'll be honest with you, there are times where God's will doesn't always make sense. But this is where God's ways are always better. The Bible talks about God's ways are higher and better than our ways. And the thing about it is this is where faith comes in. It is always right to trust in God no matter what the circumstances. On our darkest day, God makes a way. Here's the thing is, just look at the cross. I'll be honest with you, the cross doesn't make sense in the fact of, it does make sense in the fact that God is powerful. But listen, why would anyone want to leave the splendor and the glory of heaven? And why would somebody want to die on a cross for a sin-sick world that just keeps on sinning and sinning and disappointing and disappointing? But you know what? God's love is beyond understanding in an awesome way. The fact that God's love is perfect is hard to understand because we're imperfect people. And the thing about it is that God has infinite knowledge that we don't have. And I'll be honest with you, on the darkest day, God makes a way. And even though we don't understand why God God can love so much and why God is so powerful. God is able. I love the song that we sing in the with the teenagers. He's able, he's able. I know he's able. But do we act on it? Because that's faith. The resource of God's promises, verse 13. For I, the Lord thy God, once again, thy God. I think he's reminding us, hey, listen, it's personal. It's personal. Aren't you glad we serve a personal God? You know, with the world nowadays, it seems like, you know, everybody's a number. Everybody's a, you know, you just bought something that broke. And it seems like it happens a lot these days. Whoa, what's the serial number? And what's this number? You know, it's like, hey, listen, just give me the stupid thing that's, you know, that's not broke, you know? And anyways, you call in to pay your power bill. And all right, what's your account number? They don't know that it's, you know, Johnny, whoever your name is. That all they want to do is your account number. But you know what? Do you realize that God knows you by name? The Bible says God knows how many hairs are on your head. It is personal. By the way, he is thy God. And I tell you what, that is awesome. And we're not going to labor on that point, although maybe we should because it's just an awesome thought. The Bible says, I will uphold thee with thy right hand. Fear not, I will help thee. God always keeps his promises. You ever realize that? God always keeps his promises. Nowadays, it is hard to find somebody that keeps their promises. You know, it used to be back in the day that you could buy a car with a handshake and a promise. Nowadays, it seems like you get writer's cramp and there's a stack of papers. They chop down 14 trees just to have the contract that you do to buy a car. Buying a house is, you know, even to hook up service for propane, it seems like, you know, there's, all right, initial here, sign here, initial there, birth date there, social security there, you know, and it's like, come on, can we not trust anybody anymore? You know, but here's the thing is God always keeps his promise. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. We're going to go through just briefly some of the promises that God has kept in the past. Because here's the thing is, you know what? Everything's about track record. You go to find a job. You know what they want to do? They want to see your track record to see if they can trust you now. You apply for credit. They want to look for your credit track record. Everything's about track record. And so here's the thing is that God's the only one that has a perfect track record. Luke chapter 1. I was in John. Luke chapter 1 and verse 26, and we're going to read through 37. The Bible says this, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, to the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. I think we all know where the story is going from here. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee, blessed art thou art among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. And then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come unto thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she shall conceive a son in her old age, and this the sixth month with her who was called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And here's the thing is, you know, that last statement sums it all up. With God nothing shall be impossible. I'll be honest with you, there are so many promises here in this scripture verses. And by the way, every one of them came to pass. When it came down to consider the promise of the Savior and all the promises that were given, and you know what? Every one of them came to pass. You think about he shall be great. I tell you what, there's none greater than God. And he shall be called the Son of the Highest. You know what? He was the Son of the Highest. And the Lord shall give unto him the throne of the Father of the David. Here's the thing is, there's so many promises in this passage right here, and God came through with every one of them. And you know, sometimes We as parents, we make promises and we try and come through, and sometimes they don't always work out exactly the way that we think they should. But you know what? God even comes down to the T and fulfills every promise. He has never disappointed as far as his promises go, ever. Consider the promise of preparing a place for his own. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 14. This is a very comforting time, or this is a very comforting passage when we're talking about a loss. And John chapter 14, verses 1 and 2. Let not your heart be troubled. By the way, you ever notice that when we talk about the promise of the Savior, the Bible said, told Mary to fear not. Now it says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. So God is preparing a place for his own. Then you have the promise of the resurrection of Christ and his return. And John chapter 14 and verse 3 through 6. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so when we consider the promise of the resurrection of Christ and his return, I tell you what, those three promises, here's the thing, even if we didn't have these to consider, let me tell you, God is trustworthy. And you go through each one of the verses of Scripture, and you go through each story, and I tell you what, we see that God always keeps his promises. So let me ask you tonight, are you going through a rough time? Are we considering having faith? Are we considering giving over to fear? See, because there are many times in life we are confronted with this question, faith or fear. Both begin in F, one ends in failure. Fear always ends in failure, but faith always comes through. You know, because why? Because we have faith in the God of heaven, and you know what? We have faith in the resources of God's presence. We have faith in the resources of God's strength, and we have faith in the resources of God's promises. So let me encourage you, when it comes time, let's have faith over fear. You know, the thing about it is that faith, I heard a sermon one time that faith is the absence of fear, and I don't necessarily believe that to be the case. I believe it's the acting on faith, and that's when fear disappears. Because here's the thing is, the more we practice faith, the more our faith increases. But anyways, we can always rest on God's promises. And you know, we get the, you know, here's the thing is there's so many promises of God. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. If we called around the room, you know what? There are so many promises that just come to mind if we were to ask. But there's so many more that are in the Scriptures than I believe that most Christians ever claim. But for those of us who have trusted in the Savior, I'll be honest with you, the best is yet to come as long as we have faith. And even if we don't have faith, if we're saved, you know what? Heaven is great. But I tell you what, life is so much better with faith than fear. Fear is crippling. Fear is, here's the thing is none of us like to live in fear. There's so many fears. There's so many fears nowadays. There's the fear of spiders. Everybody freaks out when there's a spider, but here's the thing is, you know what? Nobody wants to live in fear. But so many times we do. And the way out of fear is faith. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for just all these resources that you give to us. Heavenly Father, it's something that I believe preaches easy and lives hard. Heavenly Father, I pray that you help us to be Christians of faith. And Heavenly Father, I pray that you help us to act on faith, not on fear. And I pray that you help us to have faith in a very powerful and loving God. And Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the fact that you give us opportunities to trust in you. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Pastor.